Revelation 19 in your Bible. We've been going through this series, The King is Coming. The King is Coming. And I'm thankful to know that the King is coming. And I'm thankful to know who the King is. And he's King Jesus. And he's coming. And tonight we're on lesson number 8. If you have the book there, you see that the theme is called The Man on the White Horse. The Man on the White Horse. Let me just read to you tonight, because we have to finish a little bit early. We do have a baptism tonight, by the way. We have someone who's been saved, who wants to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And that is the very next thing that we need to do after we've been saved. And so I'm excited to have the waters of baptism stirred again tonight. The first aim is to understand that Christ is coming in power and great glory to make war against the beast, the false prophet, and the kingdoms of the earth. The application regarding that one is for you and for me to live now as we are going to appear with him. In other words, we need to, as Christians, begin living as if he's coming. And I think that would change our way that we live our lives. I think it would change the way that we spend our time. I know it would revolutionize the way we spend our time, knowing that Christ could come, and if we're a Christian and we're not living for him when he comes, I think that's going to be disappointing. I think we're going to be disappointed. And I want to be living for him as fervently as I can. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's going to be doing exactly right, but by the grace of God, living fervently for the Lord when he returns. The second one is to know that every child of God will be in the army. So if you wanted to join the army, if you're a Christian, you're going to be in this army. It's the army of the Lord when he comes at the revelation. What is the application? We must live in a dirty, sinful world. I think we all recognize that. This world is not getting better and better. It's not getting more and more like Christ. It's getting further and further away from God. It's becoming more unholy by the minute, by the second. But we live in it, but we don't have to be part of it. Our hearts and lives can be clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can live holy lives in an unholy world. So, the man on the white horse. Let's read Revelation 19. And let's start in verse number... We'll read verse number 11, but we're going to be in several other passages. So, have your Bible ready to turn tonight. Maybe take some notes. Verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Notice those two words, faithful and true, are capitalized. So this isn't describing, the word faithful isn't talking about somebody being faithful. It's talking about a person, yes, who is faithful. It's not just talking about something that is truth. Yes, he is true. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, what we've learned so far is the coming of Christ, the return of Christ that we're waiting for, is in two stages. Part number one is Christ coming for his saints, for his saints. And who are saints? We've also learned in our study that saints are people who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. They are not people who have died and later on down the road a certain church has given them sainthood. That's not in the Bible. But what is in the Bible is that when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have, then you are a saint. So take note of that tonight. You are a saint. And so that is when Christ is going to come, not all the way down to the Mount of Olives, but when he comes in the air, then we which are alive and remain will go. The dead in Christ will rise first. We've covered all of this. Christ coming for his saints. Then that begins what we call the tribulation. That's in two parts. First 3.5 years, the tribulation. Then we have the great tribulation, the second 3.5 years. While all that's going on down here, we're having up in heaven what's called the judgment seat of Christ. We're also having the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those are things that are happening in heaven. That's where you want to be when that's going on. You don't want to be down here during the tribulation, believe me. There will be people saved, I believe, during the tribulation, however. That's not the topic for tonight. I'm thankful that I know I'm on my way to heaven. When he comes the first time, I know I'm going up to meet him in the air. That's only by the grace of God. So the second time, though, that he comes, he's not coming for the saints. He's coming with the saints. That's you if you're saved. That's me. We're coming with the one that is called faithful and true. Revelation 19:11. The one that is called faithful and true. We're coming with him. And we will be on a horse as well. And we'll be following our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, verse number 7 of that same text. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." That's the bride. The bride of the Lamb is the church. That's the Lamb of God. That's who it's talking about there. And the bride is us. If you're saved tonight, you're not only a saint, you've got all kinds of titles, right? You're a child of God, you're a saint, you're the bride of Christ. I mean, it goes on and on. Praise God for all of these biblical terms that we have. Then he says, and his wife, okay, verse 8, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." That's you, that's me. Blessed are they, happy are they. I mean, this is great. We have the best invitation in the history of the world. The invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. "And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." So this is happening, marriage supper of the Lamb. And then verse 11, we see that Christ is coming and we are coming with him. So first thing we see tonight in this lesson of the man on the white horse is his description. His description. Look at verse number 12. "His eyes were as a flame of fire." Wow, those are some powerful eyes, right? "And on his head were many crowns." He's worthy of all of them, you know? And by the way, as a Christian, you and I have opportunity. We talked about it in previous lessons. We have an opportunity to earn crowns. And what are those crowns for? For us to stack them up on top of our head for all eternity and have all these crowns on our head? No, they're for casting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, for he is worthy. I mean, we don't have to do anything to get into heaven but turn to Christ and be saved. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," Acts 16:31. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I cannot earn my way to heaven. You cannot earn your way to heaven. But by the grace and mercy of Almighty God, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, that God had knew in his foreknowledge, somehow this is hard to even recognize, in his foreknowledge, that he would have to have his son be the Lamb that would be slain for your sin and mine. But praise God, when Jesus was on that cross, the last thing he said was, "It is finished. It's finished." You can't earn your way to heaven. I can't earn my way to heaven. I can't earn favor with God. But if I come through the cross, as we heard the beautiful song this morning, if I come through the blood of Jesus, God receives me every time. But if you try to go to God any other way, you will not be received. I'm not received because I'm a Baptist pastor. That's not in here. I'm not received because I wear a suit and tie. That has nothing to do with it. I'm not received because any reason of me or of you. Make a list and then crumble it up and throw it away, because that's not what you need. We only need one thing on the list, and it's not a thing, it's a person: Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And picture it, if you will, this Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he's on this white horse. And John said, as I see him coming out of the clouds, as I see him coming out of heaven, his eyes are like flames of fire. Wow. I mean, fire is powerful. Fire is powerful. Fire catches our attention. The Bible says that he had many crowns and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. His description: no one can escape the eyes of Christ. The eyes of Christ, they see all. Let's hold our finger there and go all the way back to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. The eyes, the description that John saw in this vision: flame of fire. the eyes of God. We cannot put anything past them. 2 Chronicles in the 16th chapter. Thank you for listening. Praying God's word speaks to our heart tonight. Verse number 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord," 2 Chronicles 16, 9. I hear rustling. That's fine. You ready? "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout," how much? "The whole earth." Man, if I could just move, and if I could just leave Vancouver, and if I could just go over here, then I think, you know, I can just do that, and I'll just get away from God. No, it's the whole earth. And by the way, if you want to get on one of them rockets that just went up to the moon the other day, it's not just the whole earth. His eyes are everywhere. Notice what it says. "To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." That word perfect has the idea of mature. He wants to show himself strong on the behalf of the people that are mature or perfect toward him. "Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." You should have been living right, because the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, we might look at that and we might think, wow, that means God sees everything. But let's make it personal. It also means that God sees my heart right now. As you sit here in that seat tonight on a warm April 19th, it's a nice evening. We have freedom to meet like this. Let's be thankful for that. Various places in our world, there's no way you could gather like this. And we're blessed. We have the door open. I mean, people keep walking by and hearing the name Jesus. Isn't that great? I'm thankful for that. Every once in a while, they stop and kind of look in. What's going on up there? That wild man up there. What's he doing? Hey, I'm thankful that we have the freedom to talk about the Lord. And we as Christians, we should probably talk about the Lord a little bit more. What do you think? I think we should probably get those gospel tracts and hand them out this week and ask God to do a mighty work. But God sees your heart tonight. By the way, when God sees my heart, what does that mean? It means God knows every motive. What does that mean? It means he knows why I do what I do. It means he knows why you do what you do. It means he can see through the facade. He can see through what I can't see and you can't see about me. God, his eyes, they know my heart. They know your heart. They know our motives. And nothing can be hidden from God. His description is very clear there for us in verse number 12. His eyes are a flame of fire. A flame of fire. Notice it says as well that on his head were many crowns. Typically, when someone has a crown on, that means they're a king, right? Or I guess you could say a queen. But someone that has a crown on, that equals authority. So on his head are many crowns. Not one crown, but many crowns. He is almighty. He is all powerful. And he has authority over every kingdom in the earth. Now, let's read through these. There's some names here, four names. Let's see what they are. In verse 11... Notice, we already covered this, so I'm going to just move through it quickly here. In verse 11, it said he was called faithful and true. So that's one name that we see listed, his description. Remember, eyes of fire, many crowns. Says that he's faithful and true. This name reminds us of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also it reminds us of God today. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a faithful life. He never sinned one time. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We have a God today who is perfectly holy. He is righteous. So he has the faithful and true. Then it says that he has an unknown name. Notice, if you will, in verse number 12, he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. That means we don't know what it is. So he had a name that's not been revealed to us. Only he knew about this name, but it was a second name. Then the third name that we see. Let's turn over to, let's see here. It says in we'll turn there in just a moment. Let's read verse 13. "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called what? The Word of God. There's a third name that we see. So we see faithful and true. We see a name that we don't know what it is. We also see the name, the Word of God. To save time, maybe you know the verse, John 1:1. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we could write a note in Revelation 19:13 and put John 1:1 there. That's another name for the Lord Jesus, the Word of God. Christ was with the Father in the creation of the world. John 1:2 says, "All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made." All things were made by who? God, yes, but it's also talking about Jesus Christ. He says in Genesis, "Let us make man in our own image." Let us. Us is not singular. Us is plural. So we know that Jesus was there as well, because Jesus is God, right? And so, praise the Lord for this name, the Word of God. The Word was yet as yet unspoken, but when Christ came into the world, God spoke in him. Then we see here as well, verse number 16. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written." Here's another name. "King of kings and Lord of lords." This is an official title given to the Son of Man. The Son of Man being the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rightful heir of all things. The rightful heir of all things. The Bible says in verse 13, we read it earlier, that he had a vesture on. He was clothed in something that was dipped in blood. This picture's for you and for me tonight, the blood that we've even been talking about before we even got into this Bible lesson. It pictures of the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. "For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." What does that mean? It means without God's blood, Jesus' blood on your account, there's no cleansing, there's no remitting of sin, there's no taking it away. So when Jesus looks, when God looks on you tonight, he either sees no blood or blood. If he sees no blood, then you're not redeemed. You're not saved, meaning you're not ready for the king to come. You need to get saved. I can't make you get saved. No one can make you get saved. The Holy Spirit of God can convict you, and if you're being convicted about that, don't push that away. Take that in and consider what God is trying to teach you tonight. Or he sees the blood. What is this blood? This blood that Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross is on the mercy seat tonight in heaven. Speaking for you, speaking for me, if we're saved, when God sees the blood, you know what he sees? He sees a clean individual, because he sees the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Think about that. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. I could handle some snow right now. You know, I'm just kidding. That makes me white as snow. Man, tonight, in this wicked world, if you have Jesus, you are white as snow. That means you are pure in the eyes of God. It's not your purity. It's Jesus' purity. Think about that. That is so precious. Because I know me, and I know you. We all still have this old flesh. This old flesh says, do this, don't do that. You know, it's funner over here. It's more exciting over here. It just, you know, I'll just sleep a little bit longer. I'm not saying if you need sleep, get it. But maybe we might be a little bit sluggardly sometimes or lazy sometimes. Just hit the snooze one more time. You hit it one time too many, and there goes our prayer time in the morning. We got to get out the door. We got to go to work. Again, if you need rest, get it. But I'm just saying, God, even with that, God looks at me and he sees, wow, he's got the blood applied. She's got the blood applied. That means they're clean, as white as snow. What a great blessing. Hebrews 9:22, we won't turn there, but if you want to jot that reference down, that's the verse that I quoted just a minute ago, a part of it. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22. So we not only see his appearance, but secondly, we see his armies. His armies. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven, here it is, we're in the army now. The armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses. There it is. Yes, equestrian, right there. I've only ridden a horse maybe a handful of times. But thankfully, these are going to be broken horses, if you know what I mean by being a broken horse, right? These aren't going to be wild stallions. Hallelujah for that. I'd be in trouble. There's you, there's me. We're going to be on. We're part of this army if you're saved. I mean, be thankful for that. Like Brother Colton said, it's warm. It's Sunday night. I mean, I left home this morning at 8:45. Haven't been home yet. These guys left home this morning at what time? About 8 o'clock. Hey, I'm not saying we're somebody. I'm just saying, praise the Lord, I'm in this army. I'm not in the other army. Because the other army's going down. Destruction. I like being on the winning side. Sorry, dodgeball. Great job, though. But I like being on the winning side. This way, we're winning. And he says, verse, where was I? 14. I'm talking about the army. White horses clothed in fine linen. Wow. Think about the cleanest linen. Look at this. White and clean. Wow. No dirt in heaven, I guess, right? No filth in heaven. Hallelujah. I mean, no spots, nothing. This stuff is going to be the whitest linen you've probably ever seen or I've ever seen in my life. Wow. The army which follows the Savior as he leaves heaven is made up of the bride of Christ. That's you, that's me. As well, all the saints before the church was established and the tribulation saints who had been slain after the church was even taken out. And all of these now come forth right behind. We're following our Savior. He's in the lead, the one that's called true, the one that's called faithful, the eyes of fire. He's riding that white horse, and all of us are following him. We have no weapons, by the way. We won't need any. This is a completely unusual battle. We don't even have a horn. What did they use? A horn and a lantern down there at Jericho, you know? That was an interesting battle plan as well. What else did they have? Two or three things they had. We don't even have that. No weapon. The army's following him who is upon the white horse, dressed in white, symbolizing righteousness. Because at that point, we are fully righteous. Every child of God will be present. What a sight. Think about these things. Praise God for these things. But also, this is all the more reason to be out, giving out the gospel, praying for your lost family members, praying for your coworkers that are lost, inviting people to church, inviting people. We've got this Spanish service on Friday night. We have some flyers. We have some posters. We have some little flyers back there. Get them. If you know anybody in your circle that is of Spanish speaking, and yes, it'll be predominantly all in Spanish that night. Anchors invited to come as a whole. You can come too. But the idea is, Brother Mejia, pray for him, by the way. Pray for him. Set a reminder all week, every day, to pray for Brother Cesar Mejia. We want God's hand to be on him. We want him to be filled with the Spirit of God as he preaches the gospel message in Spanish. And we're praying for people to be saved Friday night. Would you pray with me about that? Why? Because we want more people in the army. This army. But also the army here. Right? We're in the army now. Not just then. We're in the army now. We're ambassadors for Christ. What do they call it? We have our orders. I can't remember what it's called, but we have them from Christ right here. Marching orders. There you go. Let's march right out there for the Lord. And so pray for that. So we have his appearance on a horse, flame fire in the eyes. Jesus sitting on that horse. We're behind him. We're the army behind him. No weapons. Thirdly, we have his purpose. His purpose. Why? Why is he coming? Why are we behind him? He's coming in power and great glory to make war against the fake Trinity, the beast and the false prophet and Satan himself, as well the kingdoms of the earth. Look at verse number 11. We'll read it again. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Notice verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. He has the weapon, we don't. We don't need it. That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Folks, this is a very sobering verse. Because everyone that's lost, that's still alive at this point anyway, they're going to be on the other side of the battle. I mean, praise God, we're on the winning side, but what about all the people that are without Christ tonight? What about all the people in your neighborhood that are lost? What about all the people on your apartment floor, your condos beside you, or my neighborhood, my landlord? What about these people that walk by here every Sunday night? I see them now that it's warm. What about them? What about all the people tonight at Royal Columbian and Vancouver General and out at Eagle Ridge? With all due respect, at all three of these hospitals and all of them, every day a white sheet gets pulled over. Sorry, I'm not trying to be rude or crude. I'm just being real. A white sheet gets pulled over a lifeless body. At that point, that person is no longer there. They've either entered the presence of God or they've gone to hell. And there's no do-overs. And it's like that in every city, in every province of Canada, around the world. I don't remember the statistics, but every day, just like you could almost snap your finger, and that's somebody dying. I don't think I could snap fast enough, actually. This is a very sobering verse. And yet, many times as Christians, we're just playing with it. We're just playing around. I mean, we're all set, but we're just playing around. God help me not to play around. I don't want to play around as a pastor. I don't want to play around as a husband. I don't want to play around as a father, a grandfather. I don't want to play around as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to play around as your brother. I want to be serious about this. Yes, we have a good time. I'm all for having a good time. It's good to laugh in church. But there are many times when we need to be very sober about this, and we need to really consider what this thing is all about, that every second that goes by, someone's taking their last breath, and the white sheet's getting pulled over their head. And they're into eternity. And there's no coming back. It's decided. How about you? Have you made a decision to trust Christ as Savior? If you have, praise God. That means to have the sheet pulled over my head one day. Don't cry for me, because I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But you know, I watch people. I know that hopefully that doesn't sound odd. But I like to watch people if I'm sitting somewhere and I just watch people. Why do I watch people? Well, the main reason I watch people is I really do. I wonder if they know the Lord. I wonder if they know the Lord. Especially when you go to a big event, right? Maybe it's a music event, or maybe it's a sporting event, or maybe you're at a big time of the year when people are shopping a lot, and you just go to the mall, and, And maybe you're not into mall shopping. I'm definitely not myself. But, you know, you go where there's a lot of people, and maybe it's in the summertime, and it's the P&E, or maybe it's the fireworks, or whatever, and you're just near, like, hundreds and hundreds of people, and then thousands, and you're around so many people, and everybody that walks by you, right? His purpose, the very word of God, will win the battle. Notice that. It is the sword that comes out of his mouth. What is this describing? It's describing his very word. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of Christ will win the battle, defeating all the nations. Christ will be victorious. The eternal word is the offensive weapon. And by the way, not just in Revelation 19 when it plays out, but today in your life and mine, the word of God is our offensive weapon. Meditate on it. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Share it. Think about it. Read it. Write it down. Get into it. Read a little bit at a time. Read big quantities. Whatever. Just get the word of God, because the word of God helps us to not yield to temptation. The word of God helps us to be encouraged when we could be discouraged. The word of God helps us to have joy when we could have fear. The word of God helps us to be confident when we could be lacking self-worth. But the word of God gives us great power and great ability to walk in this wicked world on the winning side. It's the word of God. It never lets us down. Hallelujah. We will follow him upon white horses. We will be dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And what is this saying? We're going to be clean, but I'm going to tell you tonight, by the grace of God, we need to get ready for this and live clean now. Live clean now. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we realize and the Holy Spirit convicts us of a sin, let's repent of that sin and let's not go back to it. Again, it's going to take the grace of God. It's not just determining, I'm not going to go back to it. It's saying, God, I need your grace. I need your power to help me. I don't want to do that again. And yet, just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Don't stay down. The devil's a good boxer. But you can get up. You can get up by the grace of God. Even if you're staggering, get up. Even if you got a bloody nose, get up. By the grace of God. We've all been down. This preacher's been down. You've been down. But the grace of God picks us up. We might be staggering a little bit, you know. Ooh, that was a big uppercut. I didn't see that coming. Get our feet under us. Get our feet back in this book. We can stand. We can stand by the grace of God. We must live in this dirty, sinful world, but our hearts, and lives can be clean by the cleansing of the blood. Praise God for the white horse, the man on the white horse. Are you ready for that? I'm looking forward to it. Let me just say in closing, I don't know everybody tonight here personally. I know most of you, but not all of you. If I was to sit with you, just you and me, and I was to ask you this question, don't answer it out loud, but think about it. If I was to sit across from you and you were to look into my eyes and I were to look into your eyes and I were to say to you, when you die, do you know for sure that you would be in heaven? And if you were to hesitate and look at me and say, you know what? I'm not sure. I would say to you, well, thank you for being honest. And then I would take you into this book right here, and I could show you not Ben Turner's word, but the word of God. And there are other men, there are other ladies that can take the word of God, even in this room tonight, and could show you from the Bible how you can know that. By the way, you're not going to heaven because you got baptized. So many times I've asked people about it, and they start with, I got baptized. I'm not saying that everybody that says that isn't truly saved, But being baptized has nothing to do with going to heaven. This much right here, zero. It has everything to do with beginning your Christian life on the right foot and being obedient to God, but not to be saved. So if you were to say to me, you know what, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I die, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Don't leave here. Why would you leave here not knowing what the Bible says? Why would you leave here with Russian roulette style going out that door not knowing when you're going to die? This could be the last time you get to hear somebody preach from the Bible in your life. Am I threatening? Am I trying to be? No, I'm not. I'm saying, I don't even know if this is going to be the, I don't know if I'll ever preach again. I might go to heaven tonight in my sleep. By the way, that would be the best way to go to heaven. Hallelujah. But, you know, I'm not, hopefully that's not the case. I mean, I'd like to serve the Lord a little bit longer. Lord, whatever you got, that's fine. But in all seriousness, if tomorrow morning you get an email that's not for me, don't worry, I know where I'm going to be. I'll be with the Lord. But it has nothing to do with my good works. It has nothing to do with me at all. It has everything to do with Christ. 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 That's it. Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. If you don't know that, if that's not settled in your heart, please stop someone before you leave tonight. Please talk to the person beside you, in front of you, behind you. Surely somewhere within your vicinity, there's someone that can take the Bible and show you. In fact, all that you got to do is get this invitation right here. And on the back of that invitation, there's six things. It doesn't matter the number. Don't worry about that. This isn't about, you know, six steps to heaven or anything like that. But there's six things on the back of this card that will show you from the Bible how you can be sure you're on the way to heaven. So please, I can't twist anybody's arm. But I'm imploring you, get it settled. Don't leave without Christ. I'm going to pray, and I hope you can stay and be a part of the baptismal service. We are baptizing tonight. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to go start getting ready for the baptism. But even when I'm getting ready for the baptism, if you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die, you don't even, that saved term, maybe that's a new term. That's okay. Meaning you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Talk to somebody while we're getting ready for the baptism. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. Many people in this room are ready to go to heaven, and they can tell you what Christ did for them. That's the message, is my testimony and your testimony. How did we get saved? It's the gospel. Power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Thank God for that, because I think most of you in here are Greeks tonight, meaning Gentiles, okay? Maybe we got a few Jews, okay? That's fine. But Jews first, then you and me. Praise the Lord for that. But I'm on the list. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly